Okay, today's daf is Psachim daf Yutes. Psachim Yutes, and we continue in the sugyas of Tumah V'Tahara here in the second half of the first parak. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis, Amar Le Ravina L'Ravashi. We are two-thirds of the way down on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are discussing the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi was the one that we were involved in and how we got into this sugya, because we had the three-way machlokas tanoim about tumas mashkin, whether a liquid can be metameh ochel on a daraisa level, on a drabana level. So we had the three different shitas in the tanoim, and we will last discuss the shita of Rabbi Yossi, who was mechalik between kalim and ochlin. Kalim can become tame from liquids only on a Durabana level, but Ochel can become tame on a Doraisa level. So the Gemara had said on Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph that Rabbi Yossi really is following his Rebbe Shita, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who uses the word Yitma in another context and darshans it to be understood as Yitame, and in that context Rabbi Akiva uses it to teach us that you could have a shlishi latuma in chulin. So to Rabbi Yossi, darshins a different pasuk that way, yitma to be yitame, to teach me that tumas mashkin can be betame ochel on a do'oraisa level. So we put those two shitas together. Rabbi Yossi is following his Rabbi Akiva, isn't he? So the Gemara now is about to, after we spoke about that for a blot, the Gemara now is about to retract on that a little bit. Amale Ravina L'Ravashi V'ha'amar Rava Lo Rabbi Yossi Savak Rabbi Akiva Lo Rabbi Akiva Savak Rabbi Yossi. But 1 minute, Rava made a statement that neither of them hold like each other. Meaning Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Rabbi Akiva, who says that there is a Shlishi Latuma Ba Chulin, in Chulin we hold that there's a Shlishi only when it comes to Truma, and Ravi only when it comes to Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva though holds that there's a Shlishi even by Chulin. So Rabbi Yossi does not hold like that. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see soon. And Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi. So how can we say what we've been assuming the past daf, that Rabbi Yossi is based on his Rebbe's way of learning, Rabbi Akiva, with Yitma, but we know he doesn't hold like him. Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva himself even doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. What do you mean? Rabbi Akiva does not hold of Tumas Mashkin being Metame Ochlin to Oraisa. So neither of them hold like each other. So how can we put that together? So Amalei, so Ravashi answers, you're right. Rabbi Yossi b'shitas Rabbi Akiva rabo amra v'leilo svirale. Rabbi Yossi, when he said his shita of Tumas Mashkin to Oraisa for Ochlin, that did not mean that he held that way. That's not what he meant. He was just saying what he thought Rabbi Akiva would say. Just like Rabbi Yossi says, just like my Rabbi Akiva darshan yitma for shlishi bachulin, so too I think he would darshan the word yitma to teach me Tumas Mashkin d'oraisa. But myself, Rabbi Yossi wouldn't say that. That's what he suggested. But lo and behold, we don't say that. Rabbi Akiva would reject that application. He would only hold Yitzvah in the first context and not in the second context. But that's the Gemara. Ravashi says that really they do not hold of each other. They're independent shitas. Rabbi Yossi was just saying what he thought Rabbi Akiva would say. So now, where do we see that they don't hold of each other? Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi, who gave this answer already to Ravina, says, Bishlama, I understand Rabbi Yossi lo sevel like Rabbi Akiva. I understand where Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, and we see that Rabbi Yossi does not agree to a shlishi bachulin. The Tanya, I know it from the following Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Minayin l'Ravi'i b'kodesh shehu pasol. Where is the source that there's a concept of a Ravi'i in Kachim? As we've said, Rishon and Sheni are even in Chulin. And Rishon is by Adam and Kalim. And Sheni is also by foods by Chulin. And Shlishi is by Truma and Kachim. And Ravi'i is only by Kachim. The more special the Kedusha, the more fragile it is. And therefore, it could be affected even by something that is very, very low-level Tumah. If a Shlishi in Tumah, touches Chulin, Moshi to say nothing happens. Because it's not so special. So therefore nothing's going to happen. If a Sheni touches Truma, so that something is going to happen. And if a Shlishi touches Kachim, something will happen. So answer Rabbi Yossi, how do we know that? How do we know that there's a concept of Ravi when it comes to Kachim? So Vidinu, we know it from a Kal Vachomer. As we spoke about yesterday, at the end of the Shir, the drawbacks of a Kal Vachomer, and why we might say, Rabbi Yosef Engel suggested, why there is a shita that says, Ein Oche Min Adin. If you want more on that, you can look at the first daf in Masechet Baba Kama, Beis Aman Aleph, where Tosafot discusses whether Oche Min Adin or not, and Rabbi Yosef Engel relates to that as well. So the Gemara says, how do I know there's a kazam of Revi Bakodesh Vidinu? It is a Kavachomer. Umam Mechusar Kippurim. If one who is Mechusar Kippurim, one is, who already went to the mikvah, they counted 7 days of Tumah, and they were a Tful Yom, they waited till Shkia, and now it is the 8th day in the morning, they have to bring a carbon. Before they bring that carbon, even the night before, after Shkia, they are called a Mechusar Kippurim. How many Mechusar Kippurim are there? There are four. The Mishnah says this at the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Krisus. There are, right, the name of that parak is Dalad Mechusri Kapara. Says the Mishnah, there in Krisus, Daf Techesim Abeis, Arba Mechusri Kapara. That parak is all about numbers. There are four people that bring this carbon, and five people that bring this carbon, and four people this. So the Mishnah says, Arba Mechusri Kapara, Ve'eluhain, Hazav, Vahazava, Vahayoledas, Vahamitzora. Zav and Zava, they each have to wait 7 days, Azava Gedola, after they become Tahora, or as they're becoming Tahora, and then they bring a carbon. Yoledes is Mechusre Kapara. That is an extended Mechusre Kapara. Because they don't bring Yoledes does not bring her carbon until after her Yimei Tahara. Not just after her Yimei Tumah. After 40 days for a boy, and 80 days for a girl. So that is an extended time, as we discussed back on Daf Gimel. The, Mapelis Leil Shmon, Pealoth. So the four emitzora. So zav yoledes emitzora. That's what the Tanakhama says. There's a machlokes about what about a ger? The next sheet of the Mishnah says a ger is also considered a mechusar kapara. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer ger mechusar kapara ad sheyizrok alav adam. So ger, all converts today are mechusar kapara, just like all women who had babies today. If Mashiach would come today, Bez Hashem, what's going to happen? All the women are going to have to line up and bring all their karbonos that they owe. Karbonos yoledes. And so they are Mechusar Kapara. So Elazar ben Yaakov says also a ger. A ger has to bring a special carbon when he converts to Judaism. So he's also considered a Mechusar Kapara. The Gemara talks about why the Tanakhama does not have him on the list. The Tanakhama my time alotani ger, kiktani midam de mishri lemechal bakachim, ger ki kamaisi carbon lachshuri nafshi lemechal bakal. There's a different purpose to that carbon. Mechusrei kapara is usually brought, according to the Tanakhama, as a carbon which now allows you to eat other carbonos. But a ger, this carbon has a very different purpose. This carbon is allowing him fully to be part of the kahal. Right, so that's a different type of carbon, and therefore it is not brought. The Gemara goes into why Nazir is on a mechusrei kapara. That is the machlokas tanoim, krisas, dafchesma beis, whether there are four or five Mechusri Kapar. So, now back to the Kavachomer. Vidinu, there's a Kavachomer. Uma Mechusri Kippurim. Ife Mechusri Kippurim. Which, by the way, is what the Gemara talks about on the first Amud in Shas, on the bottom of Beis Aman Aleph and Brachas, where it talks about the Kohanim going Nechnasam Lechol Trumasam. They're allowed to go in. They were Tful Yom. Once they go in to, after Shkia that night, or Tseis, right, that was discussion in the Gemara, after Tseis HaKochavim, they come in, after they were waiting, now they can eat Truma, but they're still not allowed to eat Kachim until the next morning, and they bring their Karban. So, Ma Mechusar Kippurim, Shem Mutter B'Truma. A Mechusar Kippurim can coexist with Truma, meaning he's allowed to eat Truma. Right, that night. He can't eat kachim yet, but he's allowed to eat truma. So if a mechusar kippurim, who waited the 7 days, that status could coexist with truma. Pasul bakodesh, and yet it cannot coexist with kachim, because he has to bring his carbon. So, shlishi, a shlishi but in tuma, which is more chamor than a mechusar kippurim. Why? She pasul b'truma, shlishi pasul truma. Right, if you have a sheni that touches truma, it makes it a shlishi, and the truma is ruined. So, Mechusar Kippurim, it doesn't ruin truma, right? He can coexist with truma. So a shlishi, that status, which is possible with truma, cannot coexist with truma, eno dizza, surely it should be even more chumer than Mechusar Kippurim, sheyasa revi bakodesh. So not only should it pasul kachim, it should be able to make it a revi'i bakodesh. That's the Kal Vachomer. That's how you know that there is a concept of Revi'i Bakodesh, but there's no concept of Revi'i when it comes to Truma. And we'll see the rejection of Rabbi Akiva in a minute. Vilamadnu, and now the Gemara continues with the Limud, Shlishi Bakodesh Ben Torah. We know the concept of a Shlishi, the status of a Shlishi in Karbanos, from a Pasuk. V'Revi'i Mikal Vachomer, and this Kal Vachomer is needed for the next step to teach me that there can even be a Revi'i when it comes to Karbanos. What is that extra line in the Gemara for? You said the Kal Vachomer. What do you need that extra line? So Rashi points out, because if you wouldn't say that line, then we have another principle called Dayo, as we said yesterday. Dayo is usually a principle that limits a Kal Vachomer. If something applies by A, surely it should apply by B. But the principle of Dayo is that, but B can't be more chomer automatically than A. If you have a certain stringent law when it comes to A, fine, you can apply that stringent law when it comes to B, because B is more chomer. But could you make B even more chomer than A? If A has this, then B surely should even have this, which is even more chomer. So that's the principle of Dayo. Dayo is that, no. The place where you're learning to could be equal to where you're learning from, but not more than where you're learning from. There is an exception to that rule. So if you want to say that Dayo is a limit on a Kal Vachomer, there is a limit on the Dayo principle. And that is, as Rashi says, Hecha Demifrach Kal Vachomer. If the whole Kal Vachomer would become useless, and we wouldn't learn anything from the Kal Vachomer, then you say a Kal Vachomer and you are allowed to even override Dayo. And you're allowed to say, if it applies to A, that even a more chomer din could apply to B. That's where Hecha, the Mifra, Kavachomer, the Kavachomer would be totally uprooted and not teach us anything, then you don't say Dayo. So that's what the Gemara is alluding to here, says Rashi and the other Rishonim. Because we are proving a Revi'i Bakodesh, and therefore we are about to show that a Shlishi Bakodesh is already in the Pasuk. So if a Shlishi Bakodesh is in the Pasuk, so what are you using the Kal Vachomer for from Mechusar Kippurim? It must be that it's teaching me the next step, and that is a Revi'i Bakodesh. Don't you say Dayo? If your Mechusar Kippurim, right, is on a lower level, and now we're saying a Kal Vachomer to teach me even a Revi'i, which doesn't apply by Truma. The answer is, no, you could say it even though you are applying, the place you are learning to is even more Chomer. What about Dayo? No, you don't say Dayo here, because the whole Kal Vachomer would be uprooted, would be Mufrach. Good, so now let's explain what we just said. Shlishi Menat Torah. How do I know? Where's the pasuk that teaches me that you could have a Shlishi, the level of Shlishi in Tumah by Kodshim? Dechsiv, v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei, lo yeachel. Any meat of a carbon that touches anything tamei shall not be eaten. So what are we talking about? So milo askina, aren't we also talking about dinaga b'sheni? We're talking about that if the meat touched a other meat, that was a sheni. So if it touches anything tamei, which might be includes a sheni, that means it could be a shlishi. And then what's the Kal Vachomer teaching me? Revi'i. Revi'i mi Kal Vachomer kidda amrinan. That's the end of Rabbi Yossi's statement. So now we're going to prove. Remember, what was the whole purpose of bringing this? To prove that Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who holds that there is a Shlishi in Chulin. So we are proving that Rabbi Yossi does not hold that way. As follows. Ve'i salket daitach, sava Rabbi Akiva. And if you say that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Akiva, that there is even a Shlishi in Chulin. So 1 minute. If there's a Shlishi in Chulin, so what's the Pasuk teaching me about Vavasar Shiga b'choltame? It must be teaching me something new about Kachim. It has to be one step up. So if there is a Shlishi in Chulin, then there must be a Revi'i in Kachim in the Pasuk. And that one must be the Kal Vachomer teaching me a Chamishi in Kachim. And nobody says that. So the Gemara says, V'isakadai dechsaber k'rebi akiva nisninami revi'i batruma v'chamishi bakodesh. Why is the whole brisa, the whole tosefta, teaching me a shlishi in truma and a revi'i in kodesh? If Rabbi Yossi goes like Rabbi Akiva, you should bump everything up one level. Because the pasuk and the Kal Vachomer would be teaching me one thing extra beyond chulin. So that's how you know that Rabbi Yossi must not hold like Rabbi Akiva. And he only holds a shlishi in truma and a revi'i in kodesh. Period. Stop there for a moment. The Chashuk Echemet here discusses, once we're talking about low-level kachim, applying to other karbanos, he has the following tshuva. He says, She'ela Maisa Shahaya, talking about karbanos. Again, this could be related to many different sugyas, but he has it here, so we'll read it here. She'ela Maisa Shahaya B'Shas Tavshin Ches. There was a story in 1948 when Yerushalayim was besieged. Yonah Dioma, when Yerushalayim was besieged. Yehuda Shahaisalo Par Mevakeres. Yehudi. There was a Jew that had a cow that was about to have a Bechor. About to have a carbon. And we know, the minhag is, as the Shulchan Aruch says, we try to sell it, a percentage of it, to a non-Jew to prevent the Kedusha of Bechor from kicking in. And the Jew went to the Rav and said, can you please, you know, sell my Bechor? We've said that the two places where Rishonim discuss Mechira, selling items to non-Jews, are Mechiras Chametz and Mechiras Bechor. Those are the two contexts where Rishonim discuss all the different Kinyanim that work between Jew and non-Jew. And Lamaisa, we've discussed that we try to do every shita to cover all of our bases whenever we sell something to a non-Jew to make sure that it is done. We do all the chatzer and shtar and situmta, everything. So the case here is that the Jew came to the Rav and said, can you please sell it because I don't want the Kedushas Bechor. So the Rav said, fine, I'll take care of it. And the Jew went back to his business. And the Rav was looking all over, but it was pretty hard to find a non-Jew to be able to sell it to in the besieged Yerushalayim in 1948. So it ended up that he couldn't find somebody. And meanwhile, the baby was born. The Bechor was born. The owner didn't know about it. The owner had it shechted and had it given to Biker Cholim Hospital, the Beit Cholim Biker Cholim, for the Ptsuim HaMesukanim, for all of the patients that were there. The patients there, anyway, had a Heter Pikuach Nefesh. There was no other food, so they would have been able to eat this anyway, but this is the meat that they were given, Bekedushas Bechor. And it was cooked and it was given to them. And the Shiloh was sent to the Hartzvi, and the Hartzvi said, look, this right now all you can do is worry about the Kalim. So you have to kasher all the Kalim. That's what he said. You have to be magal all the Kalim in the hospital. That's what Rav Sipesach Pesach Frank said. But the Shiloh, that was a story from 1948. Now the Chashuke Chemet says, what happens if they would have known about it before the meat would have been cooked? Right, what is there anything to do right now to be mamait? There's no shaila about eating it. You have to eat it. There's no other meat. There's no other food. Is there anything? This was a bachor. It was a karban that was shechted bachutz. Is there anything that they could have done differently if they would have known? So his shaila is, what's the possibility? What might have been able to be done? Can you make a mum in this bachor? That is an Avera, making a mum in a Bechor. But would that have been better than Shechting Kachin Bachutz? Making a mum in the Bechor. After all, there is a question whether that Isser applies Bisman Hazeh in full. Pashas is an Isser Daraisa. There is a discussion in the Rambam and the Chinuch whether you would get Malkus for that. But Pashas, that's also an Isser Daraisa. So the question is, would it be better to make a mum in the Karban, in the Bechor, then it loses its status, it becomes Chulin, and then you could Shecht it? Or no? Making a mum in a Bechor? Who says that Avera, when we say Pikuach Nefesh is mutter, right, you're allowed to eat. So does that mean all Yisurim, like being Matam Mum Bekachem is mutter? Or no? Eating this, which means Shechting it and preparing it, that's what's mutter. So that's what he goes, that's what he discusses from Chassam Sofer and elsewhere. He doesn't quote it, but this is the question of the Ran. The Ran in Meseches Yuma discusses this question, similar question. In Iran, much quoted by the Achronim. The Ran's question is, in the sugya of ma'achilin oso hakal hakal, that we always try to violate, if we have to violate Yisurim, we always try to violate less Yisurim. Let's say there is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and he has to have meat on Shabbos. And in front of him, there's nevela. There's nevela meat. And there's also a cow walking around. So what does this person do? Does he eat the treif meat, or does he shecht the animal in order to have kosher meat in order to eat? So that's the shaila of the Ran. So the Ran first quotes the Ravid. This is Daf Dalet Amud Beis in the Daf Arif. V'nishala Ravid, v'lashon hazeh. Im hoya chol ha-sheish b'sakan, v'zorach lishcha lo tarnagol les, lama lo nomar l'nachri, sheyinchar lo v'anachi l'no nevela. Let the guy kill an animal and bring you nevela. She'ein bo ela isur lav. Because after all, nevela is not Kares, Nevela is just an Isolav. Velo Nishcho, Venitche Shabbos, Yishbo Yisra Skila. So you don't have to do Shchita. Shchita and Bishol, it's all, let's say you have to do Bishol for the Nevela also. But let's say it's better than Chi of Shabbos. So the Ravid's Lashon is, Veheshiv, Shezeh Achola, Eze Isser Omeid Uma Akvo. What Isser is standing in the face of this Chola? Vada Isser Shabbos, Lo Isser Nevela. the Isser of Shabbos. When you say this person has to, right, he has to do something. And what would he do on a weekday? He would shech the animal and eat it. So what is Shabbos preventing you from doing? Shechting the animal and eating it. Teda, she either lo hayu Shabbos, lo hayu mevakshin lo nevela, ela shchuta. V'kiva shekein, ha iser ha'omeda lav uma akvo, hu, sheshava heter gamur, sheshaba heter gamur, lo iser acher, l'fichach e matirin lo iser nevela. That's the Ravid. The Ravid says, what would you do on a weekday in this situation? If you checked and eat kosher on a weekday, that's what you would do on a Shabbos also. So that's what Shabbos is preventing. So that's what you're allowed to do. Meaning, according to the Ravid, how do you look at it? Shabbos is weekday. Maybe this could be the machlokas of Huchu Techuya. But according to the Ravid, he's saying, what would you do on a weekday? Because it's like weekday. Chol chodavar. And therefore, that's what you would do. Says the Ran v'tamahani. I don't know what the Ravid's talking about. Why? Sheim kain matza tarnagolas nechura na achilena oso velo nishchot lo shekishem sha'ata omer she'isr Shabbos ma'akvo milishchot kaches nevelo ma'akvo milechol nevelo zu. Right? What do you mean? So Shabbos is preventing me from eating this, so this Rav Nevela is preventing me from eating this. Both are asur, and both could be overridden because of bikuach nevesh. If this is the only meat that you have, this piece of Nevela, so you eat the Nevela. So the Isser Nevela is also staring at you in the face, not just the Isser Shabbos. So, V'lama Omeid, L'fadav Isser Shabbos, Yosef Isser Nevela. And therefore, I don't understand what the Rav is talking about, I'll give a different Svara. Avonir Ali, the Rav is a beautiful Svara. Legabe Chole, you know what the difference is? If you eat the treif, if you eat the Nevela, then every bite that you eat, you're violating. If you are Mechal Shabbos, you're Mechal Shabbos once, when you shech the animal, and maybe twice when you cook the animal, but after that, it's all mutter. It's all mutter, every bite that you eat is now kosher. That's the difference. How many averos are you doing? Is it better to do many lesser averos or one big avera? That's basically the Ron's question. And we've discussed with Yosef Engel in the past, who has 17, 18 examples of this. Does quality change something? Does less quality and more quantity? That's what it's here. The legabe chola ein iser nevela kalmi iser Shabbos. The nehid iser the nevela iser lav v'Shabbos iser skila ika chumra achrina benevela l'fisha ha'ochlena over belava kol kezayis v'zayis sheba k'damrina legabe nazir sheshosa yayin. Every time he drinks a little bit, then he's violating another iser. Well, in Shabbos lo avar ela b'shashchita v'chad lavu deika demaisa Shabbos mutarin. The Chulu, that's the Ron, and that's the Ron that's quoted in other contexts, where it's worse to do a lesser Avera many times than to do one major Avera one time. So that can apply here too. In the case of eating the Bechar, every bite of the Bechar is going to be eating Kachem Bachutz, eating Apostle Carbon, Masha'en Kain, being Matal Amum, it's a one-time Avera. So could be that Ron also has application there. Okay, so that was all step number one of the Gemara. We're saying Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva because we see he only holds a Ravi'i Bakodesh, not a Chamishi Bakodesh. Good. Says the Gemara, fourth line. Ella Rabbi Akiva. What about the other way now? Because we said nobody holds like Rava said, that neither of them hold like the other one. So, Ella Rabbi Akiva lo savar k'Rabbi Yossi minalan. How do you know that Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, who said that Tumas Mashkin is Mitame Ochlin Mida Oraisa. And not only that Rabbi Yossi, but the Rabbi Yossi that we just quoted in the Braisa. That's what we're focusing on now. How do you know that Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi, who learns the Kal V'chomer from Mechusar Kippurim, and he learns that a Shlishi in Tumah is more Chomer than a Mechusar Kippurim? Right, that's what the Braisa said, the Kal V'chomer that we just quoted in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that a Shlishi Bat Shuma is more Chomer than a Mechusar Kippurim. So how do you know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that? So Amar Leh, Delo Lishtamet Tana, V'lisni Revi'i Bat Shuma, V'chamishi Bakodesh, V'neima Rabbi Akivahi. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva, what did we say before? Rabbi Akiva holds there's a Shlishi even in Chulin. So now, we just said Misvara, that if Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Akiva, he should bump up each one of the tumas that he holds of, and he should end up saying, a chamishi bakodesh even. So the Gemara is saying, no, Rabbi Akiva obviously doesn't hold that either. So it's saying, but why not? How do you know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi? If he holds like this Kal V'chomer, so then maybe he would bump it up to a Revi'i in Truma and Chamishi in Kodesh. Says the Gemara, well, you never find that anywhere. There's never a conversation in all of Shas, in Mishnayis Taras, that there's a Shita out there that holds there's a concept of a Chamishi. when it comes to Kachim. And if Rabbi Akiva really held that, meaning he held like Rabbi Yossi's Kal Vachomer, and then he built on it, right, whatever Chulin is, Trume Kachim has to be bumped up one. If you have a Shlishi Vachulin, like Rabbi Akiva holds, and then you hold up Rabbi Yossi's Kal Vachomer, you would bump up Trume and Kachim. But you never find it anywhere. Nobody ever quotes a Shita that there's a concept of a Chamishi when it comes to Kachim. So says the Gemara, V'yanana hochi nekem enismoch. What, we would rely on that? Would we rely on a proof by omission? That, because we never find it, is that good enough? So, the Gemara is going to say that, yes, we will find something more explicit. Nafak Ravashi, v'yitemer of Kana, dokva ashkach. You're right, Ravashi went out and found something beferish, that Rabbi Akiva holds only a revi'i when it comes to karbanos and not a chamishi. You're right, it's not good enough to have a raya by omission. We're going to find a raya explicitly. Okay, as we're about to see in a minute. Rashi, though, points out, Ahara, what's wrong with the Kal Vachomer? What did we just say? Rabbi Yossi had a Kal Vachomer at the bottom of the previous Amud. And we just said, well, Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that Kal Vachomer. Because if he did, then he would take his own shita. Rabbi Akiva is the one that says there's a shlishi in Chulin. He would take his own shita of the Kal, and then use the Kal Vachomer and bump up Trumen Chulin, Trumen Kachim. And we just said, no, he can't do that. So what's wrong with that Kal Vachomer? The Gemara here doesn't say anything. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Sota, who quotes what the problem is with the Kal Vachomer. Again, the Kal Vachomer is assuming that Mechuser Kippurim is Kal, and Shlishi is Chamor. So the Gemara there in Sota Chav Zayin quotes from the Dar Acharon what the problem is with that Kal Vachomer. Maybe Mechuser Kippurim is more Chamor than a Shlishi Batruma. Who says Mechuser Kippurim is less Chamor? Why would a Mechuser Kippurim be more Chamor? Because what's the root of a Mechuser Kippurim? It came from someone who was an Avatuma. It came from someone. A Mechuser Kippurim is a vestige of a Tful Yom, which is the vestige of somebody who waited, who was Tummy for 7 days. So the root of the Mechuser Kippurim is a very Chamor Tuma. So fine, right now, in its present state, it is more Kal than a Shlishi. But this is a tremendously Chamor at root, conceptually. That's how they knocked out the Kal Vachomer in Sota, and that's what Rabbi Akiva would say here. He does not hold to that Kal Vachomer because of that Percha. Good. Either way, right now we have to continue, though, to figure out, so where do we have explicitly a source that Rabbi Akiva does not hold of a chamishi? Meaning we're going to find a source that he only holds of a revi bakodesh and not a chamishi. So where do we have that? So Rav Ashi or Rav Kana went out and found the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Haditznan. The Mishnah says in Chagiga, Hakli mitzarev es masha besocho, la kodesh avalo la truma. The Mishnah there in Chagiga is discussing the differences in halacha between Truma and Kachim. So one is that the Kli is Mitzarif. If you have Kachim or Truma in a Kli, but they're not all touching each other. Let's say you have some Truma in a Kli, and you have some on the right side of the Kli, and some on the left side of the Kli. The Kli is Mitzarif, everything that's in it, Lekodesh Avalola Truma. For Kachim and not for Truma, meaning if a Tame person touches part of the food in the Kli, then all the food in the Kli is Tame, because the Kli unifies it. The Kli is Mitzarif what's in it. Avalola Truma. But a Kli is not Mitzarif for Truma. Again, because a Kodesh is more susceptible. It's on a higher level. So a Kli can be Mitzarif Kachim and not Truma. Vaharevi'i Bakodesh Pasol Vahashlishi Bashruma. And what's the next line of the Mishnah? What's the difference between Truma and Kachim? You could have a Revi when it comes to Kachim, and only a Shlishi when it comes to Truma. You see, the word Pasul is used. We had that a couple of days ago. Pasul means it is Tameh, and it cannot make anything else Tameh. Tameh means Tameh, and Kimim Tameh something else. So these are the end of the line when it comes to these. Revi is the end of the line for Kachim, and Shlishi by Truma. So that's Beferish. You should see there's a Revi by Kodesh, and no further. That's the Mishnah in Chagiga. And about that Mishnah, V'yam Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Me'edusel Sh'Rabbi Akiva Nishtes Mishnah Zu. This Mishnah is really Rabbi Akiva Shita, as we will see in a minute. So if you say it's Rabbi Akiva Shita, then you know this is a source that Rabbi Akiva only holds of a Revi'i in Kachim, and not a Shlishi. How do you know it's Rabbi Akiva? Let's just finish the sentence. Ditznan, because the Mishnah says, Hosef, now this is a Mishnah in Idios, Hosef Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva added on to items that are metame, part of an item based on the other half, meaning tziruf, Hosef Rabbi Akiva, hasoles, flour, that's used in a carbon mincha, v'haktores, The Ketores, as we know, the mitzvah of the Ketores every day, v'halavona v'hagechalim. What's the chiddush of these four items? They're not one unit. They're all pieces. Flour are all little pieces. And Ketores, and lavona, frankincense, that's offered with the lechem aponim and with other our carbonus mincha v'hagichalim in the coals sheim naga tful yom b'miksasa. And if it's tful yom, who is considered a sheni latuma, tful yom has that status on a daraisa level. So if tful yom touches part of them, pasal is kulan. He pasals the entire group. So what do you see? So that's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one that believes in siruf, which is the Reisha of the Mishnah that we quoted in Chagiga. So if that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, so we assume the next line is also Rabbi Akiva. And what does Rabbi Akiva say there? Only a Revi Bakodesh, not Chamishi. Revi'i in Chamishi lo, Shlishi in Revi'i lo. Right? We reject Chamishis and Revi'is, period. So we see the Mishnah in Chagiga put together with the Mishnah in Idios. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. So you see Rabbi Akiva only holds of a Revi'i Bakodesh, even though he holds of a Shlishi when it comes to Chulin. He'll have a shlishi when it comes to chulin, but he just rejects that kal v'chomer that Rabbi Yossi said, and here we see it beferish. Period. Let's make a couple of comments. First of all, where does the concept of siruf come up halacha l'maisa? By kachim, by truma. So the Shulchan Aruch is not going to talk about it, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about tumah tara. The Rambam would talk about it, but the Shulchan Aruch does talk about it, as we have mentioned in the past, by hafreshes chala. Hafreshes chala has the halachas of siruf, right? If there are different doughs in one kli, are they mitsuref to each other in order to create the shear for challah? Or comes up more lamaisa. Right? It comes up, what happens if we know me'ikra din, a woman is supposed to take, or in a man, whoever's being mafresh challah, has to be mafresh challah once the dough, the minhag gets to do it right after the dough rises, and now it's one big isa, that's when one takes challah. What happens if somebody forgets? Somebody forgets and they bakes their challah, they bake their rolls before being mafrish. So what do? So we say you have to be mitzarif. You got to take off challah la'achar afiyah with a bracha. So how do you do it though? You have 20 different challahs. So two choices. Either you have to put it within a kli. So if you could fit all the challahs into a kli, that's wonderful. But if you can't, which is the usual case, where how can you fit your challahs into a kli? What we do is we put it onto a counter, or we put a towel over all of the challahs. That's mitzarif them. And then we're mafresh challah. One of them is not going to be shalim. You've got to take off from one of them. But either way, that's what siruf comes up. That comes up in Yaradeh and Simon Shin Chav Hey. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Shtei Isos She'ein B'Shum Achas Kashir. If you have two doughs, then neither of them have the requisite shear. Im Nogos Zubazu. If they are touching each other. So this for sure works. Ad She'nidbakin Ma'ad Mizubazu. If they're touching each other, so that if you take away one, some of the other one will come with it. Mitztarfin, that siruf works. Im hein mi min ha-ra'ui lehitztaref, if they're from the min types, that could be mitzarif. Vim einam nidbakim, but if they're not touching each other, v'heim besal echad, but they are within one basket, they're within one pot, hasal mitzarfan. The sal, there it is, that's the halacha, the kli's mitzarif them. V'yafilu achashe ne'efe, v'nase pas, even after it's baked already. Right, we still paskin, you gotta take off challah, even after it's baked already. V'im nasam al tavla she'ein lo levizveiz, what if you put it on a tray? But it doesn't have a rim. It's a flat tray. So is that enough of a kli? So we say no. Einam mitzarfin. That's not good enough. So what do you do in that case? If you only have a flat tray, sometimes people bake on flat trays. You bake challahs. What do? Says the Ramah, V'lachein kishem mitzarfam v'kli yizar shelo yetzei shum davar lo ma'ala midofnei akli. It's got to be within the walls. Dahainu, shehi kol kikar echad ahu isa lo ma'ala midofnei akli. And then the Ramah quotes, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, V'yesh bisha omer, shem mechase hapas b'mapa chashiv kemo kli litzarfan. And that's what the minhag olam is, if one needs to rely on that. Some say that if it's covered with a mapa, you put a towel over the whole thing, it's chashuv kamo kli. And the Shachir says, I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Bisha Omer. Everybody agrees to this. Yesh Bisha Omer usually means that there's somebody that doesn't agree to this. Yesh Bisha Omer, lo yadati, says the Shach. Lama kasuv, shem Yesh Bisha Omer. Shem ein cholik badavar. V'gamatur nakat stama haidina. I don't know why he just quoted like that. U'maharil b'ilchas pesach kasav, shem ein lo kli, shemachzeg eskula yanichene b'mapa, v'yechasa ha-mapa, gamkein, aleyem, v'nikrat zir v'hagun. So the Shach just wonders why the Shulchan Aruch uses that lashon of Yesh Misha Omer if everybody agrees to it. But that's what you see, it comes up halakha l'maisa. Interesting, the Shulchan Aruch, many times uses, as the Shach just alluded, uses Yesh Misha Omer when he's alluding to a Shita that does not agree. He uses Yesh Misha Omer, the Shulchan Aruch does, by Tosefes Shabbos. Yesh Misha Omer Shemosifin Michol Al HaKodesh. And all of many of the Achronim talk about why he uses Yesh Misha Omer. It's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about Tosefes Shabbos. All the Rishonim talk about Tosefes Shabbos. So how is it that the Shulchan Aruch uses the Lashon of Yesh Misha Omer? So the Bir Halacha says there, because the Rambam doesn't hold of it for some reason. It's a mystery. One of the mysteries in Hilchas Shabbos. The Rambam does not quote the concept of Tosefes Shabbos in Hilchas Shabbos. But at least explicitly. Some try to say, maybe it's hinted to in some place, but he doesn't quote it. He quotes it by the Isser Malach of Yom Kippur. Tosefes Yom Kippur, the Rambam quotes Tosefes, but he does not quote it by Shabbos. So that's one of the mysteries. That's why the Bir Halacha suggests, that's why the Shulchan Aruch uses the Lashon of Yesh Misha Omer, because only 99% of Rishonim hold of it, and not the 1%, not the Rambam. That is the another Yesh Misha Omer. But that's where Tzirif comes up, Lamaisa. Two other Ha'aris, and that is, number one, these items, actually we'll leave that for a minute. Another point, the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Kisisa talks about the mitzvah of Ketores. You know, Ketores is discussed here in the Braisa, that Ketores is mitzuraf in a kli in order to become tameh. But there's a mitzvah daraisa every day to bring Ketores. Mitzvah Kuf Gimel. We discussed in the Parsha Shir 2 weeks ago how many mitzvahs of Ketores are there. The Ramban counts two mitzvahs of Ketores. Half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Two of the mitzvahs say. The Ramban l'shitasa. The Ramban counts two mitzvahs of Kriya Shema, two mitzvahs of Karban Tamid, and two mitzvahs of Ketores. Because after all, each of them are not allowed to be brought in the time period of the other one. You say Kriya Shema in the morning, you say Kriya Shema in the afternoon. Ketores, Karban Tamid, two separate mitzvahs. And we mentioned then that the Rambam argues, the Rambam and the Chinuch count one mitzvah. One mitzvah of Ketores, one mitzvah of Tamid, and one mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and the mystery of how could there be only one mitzvah? The Kriya Shema in the morning has nothing to do with the Kriya Shema in the afternoon. You can't do it at the same time. Ketores, as our Gemara discusses, Tamid, how could you count it as one mitzvah? So we mentioned from Rav Soloveitchik that you have examples many times where you have the concept of a mitzvah, the chiyuv a mitzvah kicking in even before lemaisa, the time for the mitzvah is available. You have that. He quoted sources, which we're not going to get back into now, that the concept of a shofar and of a lulav start when yontif starts, even though you can't blow the shofar until the next morning. You have to have a kosher hadas, but when yontif starts, if the hadas is not kosher when yontif starts, let's say it's cut off on top, and then overnight a berry grows, and now the hadas has a berry on top, and it's kosher, it's possible that we paskin kirdichui, and that is once it's nitche, when yontif starts, then you can't shake it in the morning. What do you mean? Who cares when yontif starts? You can't shake a lulav at night. The answer is no. The concept, conceptually, of the lulav might start at night, even though in the morning, the mitzvah is not only until the morning. Where's the source of this in Shas? So Soloveitchik quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf, where the Gemara says there are three mitzvahs that Bnei Yisrael are going to have to do once we come back into Eretz Yisrael, and that is to appoint a king, to wipe out Amalek, and to build a Beis HaMikdash. In that order, the Gemara says. So asks the Rav Soloveitchik, so what does it mean that there are three mitzvahs to do when we go back into Eretz Yisrael? There's only one mitzvah to do, because you have to do it in order. So there's one mitzvah, to appoint a king. And after that, is to wipe out Amalek. And after that, it's to build a Beis HaMikdash. Why did the Gemara say Shlosha Mitzvos when you go into Eretz Yisrael? The answer is all of them conceptually exist right when they go in, even though you can't do two of them right away. But they all exist. So the same thing, the Rambam will hold that every day, every morning, there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema twice, even though one of the mitzvahs cannot be done until later. Ketores, Tamid, all of those. But one has to keep in mind that conceptually you can have a concept of a mitzvah, even though you cannot actually fulfill the mitzvah yet. So this is the mitzvah of Ketores. The Chinuch talks about this in mitzvah Kuf Gimel. He notes that Ketores had an unbelievable smell. The best smell we can't even imagine. Imagine the greatest smelling bakery that we've ever walked by, and a thousand times that. That was the Ketores. The Gemara even says in Maseches Tamid that the Ketores had such a strong smell that you smelled it all the way in Yericho. All the way in Yericho. The Mishnah in Tam, it says in the Flamid, I think it is, that the Flamid in Tamid, the Mishnah lists off that there were many many special qualities about Yericho. But one of them was the Ketores. It says, you smelled Yericho, it says, Mi Yericho Hayishomen Kol Ben Arza. They used to hear in Yericho the sound of the pulley, of the kiyor. They used to hear the Kohen scream out, everybody wake up in the morning. Mi Yericho Hayishomen Kol Ha'eshek Asa Ben Katin. Mi Yericho Hayishomen Kol Ha'shir. They used to hear the singing in Yericho. Right, they used to hear everything, chatzotros, well, the whole list. Me Yericho, hey, Mirichon Reach Pitamak Torres. All of these in Yericho. So you see, it was very strong and very loud. I've quoted in the past as an amazing Ravid. The Ravid has a commentary in Maseches Tamid in the back. So on the side a little bit, but it's also in the back. So if you look in the back of Maseches Tamid, the Ravid is quotes one of his Rebbeim. The Ravid quotes one of his Rebbeim in the really little letters in the back. In the Ravid, and he quotes, it could be that it wasn't just from Yerushalayim to Yericho. That's pretty far. It's pretty far. Right? So you gotta tell me it was heard all the way. So the Ravid in the back says, here it is. He says it at the end of the third parak. He says, he quotes, Umori Arava Chasid Zal Omar. To call Hanach Diktani, Shayu Nishman be Yericho, Maisa Nisim Hayu. All these things about Yericho. They smell the Ketores there and they heard the shofar. It was only in Yericho. I mean, it was in Yerushalayim and Yericho. It wasn't in between. It wasn't all the way to Yericho. Why? What's special about Yericho? V'dafka hayab Yericho nishma v'lo b'shart studim mipnei. And this is the unbelievable line. Mipnei she Yericho haisa kimo Yerushalayim. Wow. Yericho was like Yerushalayim. Mipnei she he haisa tchilas kibush eretz Yisrael. It was the first place that we conquered when we came in. Ukemo de trumas dagon tzarech litrom. Kenitruma Eretz Yisrael Atzma. It's the truma of Eretz Yisrael. Ubishvil kach hitrima Yoshua lios kodesh. That's why Yoshua was machrimit. You can't rebuild Yericho. You can't take the spoils because it's like truma. Lefichach hi kamo Yerushalayim. That's the Ravid. Too bad no Jews live there today. But this is, and you aren't allowed to rebuild it. Yoshua made a curse. But after all, that is the uniqueness of Yericho when it comes to the Ketores. Halakha l'maisa. Does Ketores have anything to do with us? There is an interesting Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch. The interesting Ramah. The Ramah says in Kuf Lamed Beis that there is a minhag to say pizza maktores every day. V'yeshe kasvu lizoher lomar haktores. First of all, he says, Mitoch haksav v'lo balpeh. Make sure you don't say it by heart, says the Ramah. You have to say it with a sitter. Why? Mishum shaha amira bimkom ha-haktara. Saying it is like being maktirit. V'chayshin on shema yidaleg. Maybe you'll miss a word. Echad misama maneha. V'yamrina shuchayim misam chisra achas misama maneha. And it says, chayim misa, if you miss one. V'lochein, says the Ramah, nogu shalo la'omer bachol. The minhag of Ashkenazim is not to say pizza maktores on a weekday, because they're rushing out to work. That's the Ramah. So Nusach Sfarad says it. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is to say it, even every day. Right? They take the risk. They take, it's Eretz Yisrael. We're not rushing out in Eretz Yisrael. Right? We're staying afterwards. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is Befakri. So what? Just because, what, whenever there's a risk factor, we don't do mitzvos. There's always mitzvahs. So, you know, making matzah is also a risk factor. But, you know, we do it. First of all, there's only Misa being maktir without one of the simanim, not Amira. Amira is Keilu, but not Mamish. The ode, Dein Misa, amazed. The Magen Avraham says, no, you should say it. You should say it. Some only say it on Shabbos. Minhag of Ashkenazim. Either way, that's where the different minhagim come up between Pita Maktores and Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael and Sfarad and Ashkenaz, period. Anyway, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Alma, what do you see from the previous discussion? Ksavart Tsiruf Drabanan. The concept of a kli, bringing together the items inside, is only Drabanan. Where do you see that from the previous section? That, what do you see that? Machlokas Rashi Tosas. Rashi says, you see it because all these items listed by Rabbi Akiva are inedible. Raw flour, ktores, lavones, that's inedible. Why should they be makabel tum at all? They're not one of the four items, right? Mashke, ochlin, adam, behema, they're not edible. So the fact that they're makabel tum is based on the concept that's going to come up on tomorrow's daf. We're going to talk about it more in depth. Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh is a concept that There's sometimes in Kachim, we could have a rule breaker because people feel it's so beloved. Kachim is so beloved to the Jews, so you're allowed to have rule breakers. Chibas HaKodesh. So this is a rule breaker. Something inedible being able to be Mekabel Tumah. So it is Mekabel Tumah based on Chibas HaKodesh. Is that a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan? Rashi says it's a D'Rabbanan. So that's what Rashi says here. If Chibas HaKodesh on a rabbinic level is being used to say it's Mekabel Tumah, so it must be that Tzirif is also on a D'Rabbanan level. Tosfos has to come up with a different shot, because Tosfos holds Chibas HaKodesh is a D'Oraisa. And if Chibas HaKodesh is D'Oraisa, so there's a different reason how you know from here that that Tzirif is D'Rabbanan. Because he says, the beginning of that Mishnah talks about the Efer of the Karban Chatas. Of the chatas of the paraduma, as we discussed a little bit yesterday. So the afer is also not mekabel tumah on a daraisa level before it's mixed in with the water. Either way, different raya is how you know tzirif is derabanan, machlokas rashi tosfos. Upligat Rabbi Chanan, and this is, by the way, against Rabbi Chanan, who says tzirif is daraisa, damar tzirif daraisa, shene emar, pasuk says in naso, kaf achas asara zahav malea katores, hakasav asa komashe bekaf achas. Everything in the spoon is one. Kaf achas. Good. That's the marker for Tzir of Daraisa. Period. Tznan Hasam. Next section. Next section. What does this have to do with what we were discussing previously? Some things are Tami, some things are Tar. Tziruf. So, it is somewhat connected. Let's see what the Gemara says. The Mishnah says Tznan Hasam, al machat shenim seis bebasar. A person is shechting an animal. Shechting a karban. Right? A kohen or even a Yisrael. Shechita k'shir bazar. He's shechting a karban and all of a sudden, there is a needle that is found in the flesh that he is cutting. So is the needle tameh? And what if that needle is tameh, what about the meat? What about the knife that might have touched the needle? What about the hands of the shochet that are shechting? What balacha? You find this needle inside the meat. Alamachach and imseis babasar, shahasakin vahayadayim tahoros, the knife that's being used to shecht. And the hands of the shochet are tahor. The only thing that's a problem is vahabasar tameh. The flesh that it's found in is tame. We're going to explain this. Nimseis beperesh, but if the needle is only found in the dung, in the tsoa of the animal, then I call tar, then everything's tar. Because that tsoa, as we'll see, is mafsik from the basar. So that is the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zachina, Rabbi Akiva says, you see from this Mishnah that we're zochet to say, she'ein tumas yadayim b'mikdash. When we have any kind of question about hands becoming tame in the base of mikdash, we're mekel. Because we don't want things becoming tame extra. So whenever there's an issue, even any type of issue of a din d'rabanan, of being metame yadayim, like we know our hands are yadayim askanios and chazal were metame our hands, that doesn't apply in the base of mikdash. You see that from the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, why did Rabbi Akiva stop there? What does the Mishnah say? The basar is tame, but the hands and the kli is tahar. So why did Rabbi Akiva go one step further? The Nema, Shein Tumas Yadayim V'Kelim B'Mikdash. All the Xeris against a Kli being Tameh also doesn't apply, you see from this Mishnah. Amar Rav Yudam Aravi, Tamer Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, no. Yadayim Kodim Xeris Kelim Nishnu. Hands, Yadayim was an earlier Xera than the Xera against Kelim. Certain Xeris Drabanan of Tumah on hands came earlier. So this comment, this comment was made. This Mishnah was only said after the Gzeira of Yadayim and before the Gzeira of Kalim. So there was nothing to say about, the Kalim doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. No, this Mishnah was before the Gzeira of Kalim. Says the Gemara, really? Amarava Vatravaya Boba Yom Gazru. No, they were both made the same day. Which day was Boba Yom? So we said earlier, a lot of times Boba Yom in Idios means Boba Yom, the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. This Boba Yom is different. This Boba Yom is referring back to the first parak in Masechet Shabbos, where all the Chachamim went to the attic of Rabbi Chanina ben Chizkiya ben Gurion, and they made the 18 laws, the Yudches Dvarim, relating to Tumah and Tahara. So both Kalim and Yadayim were that day. Ditznan, the Mishnah says in Zavim, HaSefer, Svarim. We know Sifrei Kodesh, they were Gozer Tumah on, because Kohanim used to keep their Truma in the Aron, next to the Torah, because they wanted to make sure it was safe. They didn't want anybody to eat their truma, so he used to put the truma food into the Aron Kodesh with the Sifrei Torah. But as we know, food breeds animals. So animals used to come eat the truma and then also nibble at the Torahs. So Chazal had to figure out a way to make sure the Kohanim don't put their food into the Aron. So they said, you know what? Sifrei Kodesh. It's so ironic. Svarim. Svarim are matame. Svarim are matame truma. So if your truma touches any svarim, your truma is finished. So, Sefer, and Yadayim are where the Chazawar goes there, Tuman Yadayim, Vahat Tvulyom, and a Tvulyom is a Sheni, and the Gemara there elsewhere says that Tvulyom shouldn't really be on the list, because a Tvulyom is a Dindar Raisa, and the others are the Rabbanan. Viha Ochlen Vakin Lashnit Pubamashkin. So all of these were all included in the Yurches Dvarim that were instituted on the same day. So you can't suggest that Yadayim was before Kalim. So we're back to the question on Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva discussed that Mishnah, in that about the needle found in the flesh, why was he so excited and said, oh, there's no Tumah of Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash? He should say there's no Tumah of Yadayim or Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash, because they're both Tar in the Mishnah. So, Ela Amar Rava. Rava said, no, there's a different reason that the Sakin in the Mishnah is not Tameh. Ela Amar Rava, Hanach, L'tumah Sakin, Dafilu B'chul Anami Lo Matamu. No, that knife, the knife that we're using to do the Shechita with, it would not become tummy. Forget the Beis HaMikdash. It wouldn't become tummy outside the Beis HaMikdash either. Why? Hai saka d'raga b'mai. What did the knife touch? What are we worried about? In our case, again, that the needle stuck in the flesh and you're doing shechita. Ilema d'raga b'basar. Are we worried that the knife touched the flesh that became tummy from the needle? Ha'ein ochel matame kli. Right? The meat can't make the kli tame. So v'el d'raga b'machad. We're worried that the knife touched the needle itself. V'ha'ein kli matame kli. Right, so there's no way the knife could become tummy anyway. So that's why Rabbi Akiva didn't get so excited. Oh, this proves that there's no tomb of Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't prove anything. Because this kli, this knife, wouldn't have been tummy outside the Beis HaMikdash either. So the Gemara says, okay, let's talk for a minute. Hi Machat, I don't have time right now, but you could go into the Mishnayis. Look at the Mishnayis at the end of Yadayim in Paragimel that discuss all the controversies about which Svarim were included in the Gzeirah of Tumas Yadayim. Which basically means which Svarim were allowed into Tanakh or not. Only real bona fide Svarim were in the Gzeira of Tumas Yadayim. So they talk about Koheles and Shir HaShirim and the others that were somewhat controversial in terms of getting in. But either way, we continue now. Hai Machan Maya Vidite. What about the needle itself? What are we worried about the needle? The needle that was Matami the Basar. Inem a Safik Machat. If we're talking about a case where we have a needle, we have no idea whether it was Tame or not. There's a needle inside. We don't know its history. So in that case, why should it be tummy at all? One of them said that if you find saliva in Yerushalayim, you could assume it's tahar. You don't have to assume it's from a zav or a zava, because there aren't too many of those in Yerushalayim. And the other one said, also if you find a kli in Yerushalayim, you could assume it's tahar. So here we're talking about a needle and a karban. So a needle and a carbon, that's in Yerushalayim, so you should be able to assume that it's tar anyway. So what's the whole issue of a needle? If we don't know anything, so it's tar anyway, and even the meat should be tar. So Amar of Yehuda Marav, no. Kegon she'avda lo machat tamei meis. You lost the needle. That was tamei meis. You lost it. Vehikir b'basar. And then you saw it, and you recognized it in the flesh of the animal. So the needle is an av hatuma, because of cherev harika chala, and then your meat's going to be tamei. That's the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah. Or Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yavin, Amar Kon Shahaisa Parachasuma Uba Michus Yerushalayim. Maybe no, you brought your animal from outside, but it's been muzzled since it was outside of Yerushalayim. So the suffig really is an outside of Yerushalayim suffig. The needle came from outside of Yerushalayim. That's why you have to assume that it might be tame. Period. How are you allowed to muzzle your animal? Well, maybe you violate it, or it's a case where you give it. You give it to eat when it's not in near fields, but we know this. This is Daraisa in Parshas Kisese of Losachsom Shor B'Disho, which according to some, by the way, is the source for Tzar Balechaim. Losachsom Shor B'Disho. We've quoted in the past, Rav Asher Weiss quotes, I think, 11 sources in the Rishonim, none in Shas. What is the source for Losachsom Shor B'Disho? What is the source for the Isser of Tzar Balechaim, which the Gemara says, Daraisa, Darabanan, what's the source for it? So, not clear in the Gemara, but one of the sources is right here, the Isra of Muslim, Losachsom Shar Bedisha. Okay, let's just do a little more before we can break. Gufa, Rablazer, Rabbi Yosef, Rechanina, Chad Amar, Lo Gazer, Al-Savik, Arokan, Shibu Yishalayim, Chad Amar, Lo Gazer, Al-Savik, Kalim, Shibu Yishalayim. Rablazer and Rabbi Yosef, Rechanina make these amazing statements that we're not gozer on Safik, Tuma on a Kli, or on Rok in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Rok in Tanina, Kalim Tanina. What do you mean? Both are explicit Mishnayas. What do we need these rabbis to tell us that? Both of these halachas are explicit mishnayis. Rok in Tanina. Rok is a mishnah that the Mishnah says in Shkalim. Kala rokim and nimsam Yerushalayim tahorin. All saliva found in Yerushalayim are tar. Chutz mishel shoka elyon. Except for saliva found in the upper marketplace. Because that's where the Zavim used to hang out. So it's beferish. So lo tzricha avagav des chazik zav. The chiddush is, even where we know a zav walked down this street, and you find saliva afterwards, you can still assume it's tahar. That's the chiddush of the extra statement about it. Kalim tanina. What do you mean? Kalim are also. The Mishnah says also in Shkalim, Ditznan, kala kalim animsam b'yushalayim derech yirid delabes atfila tamein. If they're found on the way down to the mikvah, they're tamei. Hada alma tahorin. But sounds like if it's not on the way down, which makes it in its state where it seems like a person was bringing it down to be metayer, but in general, you would say they're tor. So again, what's the chiddush? It's a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, on the second question, the next line of the Mishnah says, if you find it on the way up from the mikvah, it's tor. So we would be mashma from there that in general, kalim would be tamei. So ela what? Reisha dafka. So the Gemara says, therefore this must be what this extra rabbi is teaching me. Reisha dafka, the reisha of the Mishnah is dafka, meaning if it's found going down to the mikvah, it's tamei, and everywhere else is tahar. The seifa lav dafka, the seifa finding on the way up is lav dafka. Don't say up is tahar and everything else is tamei. What was that Mishnah excluding? Vela afuke gizayasa. It's just excluding the little alleyways near the mikvah. So that's what is tamei. But generally, all over the items are tahar, and that's the suffix kalim are. Aratar. Let's just do one more line and then we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Ula Rav da Amar, Kigocha Abdul Macha Tamimes, Vikira Babasar. If Rav says the case is that you lost a needle that was Tamimes and now you recognize it in the Basar, so then why should only the Basar? Why are we talking about this now? Because we started quoting a Mishnah, right, earlier on the bottom of an Aleph. So we're just analyzing that Mishnah. So according to Rav, who says the Mishnah is about a case where you lost a needle that was Tamimes and you recognized it. But one second. Kiva da amar mar b'chalal cherev cherev harayuka chalal. But what about the principle we discussed last week? Echerev harayuka chalal. So then the needle is an avatoma. So then adam v'kelem nami l'tame. So then we should say the knife is tame. We should say the hands are tame. Because maybe they touch the needle, which is an avatoma. So why should it only the meat be tame and the hands of the knife be tahar? So the Gemara answers, Amar Avashi, Zoso Meres, it must be that there's an overriding principle to that. And that is, Azara Rishas Arabim Hi. Where this took place, the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's surrounded by four walls, it's considered a Rishas Arabim. Vahavi Le Savik Tuma Rishas Arabim, V'chol Savik Tuma Rishas Arabim, Sveiko Tahar. And any type of Savik, Rishas Arabim, as we've learned from Sota, is Tahar. Is the Azara really Rishas Arabim? So we're going to have to talk about that in the Rambam Shita, Be'ez Hashem, coming up tomorrow. Okay, we have one more day and a quarter to Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. Also just Tahar. Somebody pointed out that the 2 days ago Shir was a little shorter. Every Shabbos, I'm uploading the Shir from the last cycle. So it's, might be a little, it sounds a little different from 7+ years ago. But either way, that's why it might have been a little, shorter and, sounds a little differently. Anyway, one more Daf Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. We'll try to get to at least close to the end of the first paragraph of Maseches Pesachim. Okay, we'll stop here.